It's your daily dose of Donna. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, April 24th. We've made it to another middle of the week, Wednesday. Wednesday is the beginning of the end of the week. Always a good time here on Wednesdays over on Daily Dose of Donna. We've got a huge show. Huge. We have so much to talk about. This will probably be a supersized episode, knowing me. I'm going to try my hardest to keep it nice and tight. That's what she said. But, you know how it goes. Welcome everyone who's in the live. Welcome to all new listeners over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I didn't mention this yesterday, but I'm officially going to be instating video on Spotify as well. So if you're listening to this on Spotify, you should be able to find video as well. It's an exciting new venture for Daily Dose of Donna. And then of course on YouTube, we're close to 15,000 subscribers. We're at 14.8 something. So let's get me to 15,000. That's the goal. Once I hit 15,000, then it's over. Then I'm done here. Okay. My job is over. Just kidding. I'll stick around forever. I am so close to hitting 55,000 followers on TikTok, because I had a TikTok that kind of exploded yesterday, and we'll get into that, and that's about Bethany. But I had a TikTok that took me very, very close. I'm about 15 followers away from 50,000 on TikTok. Isn't that fun? Okay, today we have a huge show. We're going to get into Bethany. We're going to talk about Ariana and Kim Bierman, because this woman, Kim Zolciak, she just doesn't leave our arena, even if we want her to. We'll talk about a robbery that happened to a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills daughter here in Los Angeles. We're going to talk about VPR and, of course, The Valley, all on today's Daily Dose of Donna. Hello. Okay. So last night's TV was jam-packed. Are you guys all watching both VPR and The Valley? The show is getting very, very good. Okay. I can tell you that it's getting good. I'm getting a question about my sweater. I usually don't do this in the middle of the show. I think that this may be a Target find. I have one white sweater from Target and one white sweater from Amazon. I'll look later. But I'll post it in my stories later. Thank you for saying all the nice things in the comments. Vanderpump Rules and The Valley do allow for some really good Tuesday night TV. Now, I watch one show on Tuesday night and one show on Wednesday morning just because I'm here on the West Coast and it airs late and I don't have an East Coast feed. And I also, you know, like to go to sleep by 10 p.m. So last night I really was struggling. Do I choose Vanderpump Rules? Do I choose The Valley? That is the craziest part about this. I never thought so fast we would get so into a new show. And I don't know if you guys are like me, but The Valley is literally creme de la creme. So good. It's such a good show. I can't wait to talk about it today. I want to know if you guys actually enjoyed it. Okay, so let's get into some of the stories. But before we do, I want to shout out my sponsor of Daily Dose of Donna. That is OneSkin. So whether you're a biological mom, an adoptive mom, a pet mom, or any other kind of caretaker, everyone deserves healthier skin, and not just on Mother's Day, but every day. So that's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS01 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. And they've got several studies to back it up. I've been using their products for a while now. I literally use it every single day. I use their basic OS01 peptide moisturizer, and I mix it with my tinted sunscreen. I use a tinted sunscreen from Supergoop or sometimes Elf. Just depends on the day. And I put it on every day. So I truly use it. So for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your OneSkin purchase using the code DAILYDOSE. That's one word, DAILYDOSE. When you check out at OneSkin.co, you do so much for others. Try OneSkin today and do something good for yourself on this Mother's Day or every other day. You guys, we need to talk Bethany. So yesterday was a Bethany-filled day. It was Bethany-filled, and I'll tell you why. So did I mention this on the show? I can't remember. I am doing a Patreon series right now all about it's a rewatch recap of Bethany Ever After. So if you guys remember, in 2010, Bethany and Jason Hoppe got married. I did all the research for this. March 2010. The show started airing a little bit later in 2010, and that was the first season of, it was called Bethany Getting Married. But then when they got renewed for a season two, it turned into Bethany Ever After, because obviously she had already gotten married. And this show premiered in February 2011. It's really crazy if you rewatch it now. We're 12 years out, okay? It's been 12 years, 13 years since this time. So that is a huge amount of time. We know so much more about Bethany. We really see her in a very, I would say a lot of us see her in a very different light now in 2024 than we did back then. But she's such a complex figure. And I really will tell you something. I learned so much yesterday, and I'm going to get into it. So just, you know, this, I think a lot of you will be surprised. I think a lot of you will be surprised about what I'm talking about. But anyway, on Patreon, I'm doing this recap. So I was rewatching season two, episode one of Bethany Ever After. This is an episode I got really deep into it because it shed so much light on how she treated Jason in those days and what she said about Jason, which really coincides in a, it conflicts with what she's talking about in her divorced podcast episodes. Well, as I'm doing this, I get a DM from a doser saying, oh my gosh, her podcasts are gone. The Divorce Just Be Divorce podcasts are gone. So I immediately go and look. As I pull up the podcast app, it's there. And then in 2 seconds, it like refreshes, auto refreshes, and those three episodes are gone. Remember, we've been covering this divorced podcast season or three episodes. It's been three episodes because they're really eye-opening. She really sheds a lot of light, and it's interesting on what she's saying about it. The one thing that kind of stuck with, I think, a lot of us is how she's really opening up in a very detailed way about her ex, Jason, who happens to be her daughter's father. She mentions in the first episode that she spoke to Bryn about this. Bryn is very aware. Bryn is her daughter. Bryn is very aware. Bryn is very okay about this. But I truly just can't wrap my head around this, being a child of divorce myself. And look, I do not have a good relationship. I mean, I've talked about this so much on Patreon, but I don't talk to my dad, okay, at all. Like, there's no conversations there. I've cut him out of my life completely after years and years and years of just horrendous toxic behavior that still continues to this day, i.e., you know, getting an email from him on Passover asking for thousands of dollars. So there's a lot of trauma and drama that I also have with a toxic parent. And you know, it all is very full circle, because hearing Bethany have this podcast about her divorce, talking about her daughter's father in a very disparaging way. For example, she mentioned things like, you know, she was tortured when she was having sex with him. It was like torture, which, by the way, no one wants to hear that about your parents ever, no matter what. But they definitely don't want to hear that about your parents when you are in a, like in a negative way. I don't know. It's just, I don't think anyone wants to know what your mom and your dad's sex life was. It just feels weird. And in a public manner, not to mention, she's still very close with her dad, as far as we know. And I'm saying Bryn is very close with Jason. I don't have a relationship with my dad, so my mom can say whatever she wants. It doesn't bother me. But if I loved my dad and I was close with my dad and my mom was going on a public podcast at Bethany level, which is, it was top 10 podcasts I'm talking about of all the Apple podcasts. So if you can only imagine how many millions of people are listening and watching this, it's got to be a little bit upsetting. Okay. That we thought anyway. Now, on Saturday morning, so she had released that third episode, I think on Thursday or something of last week. Saturday during the day, my friend texts me and she goes, Bethany's really quiet on social today, or actually over the last couple of days. It's weird. She usually releases like 7 TikToks a day and there hasn't been anything. And sure enough, she released an Instagram post on Saturday speaking about the death of her mother. Now, we didn't know a lot about Bethany's mother. We had just known that Bethany and her mom had a very tumultuous relationship. I think Bethany mentioned many times on shows, including episode 1 of Bethany Ever After that I recap, she says to Jason's friends, I have no roots. And at this point, her mom was still alive. I don't know if her dad was, but her mom was still alive. So to say I have no roots essentially says I have no relationship with my family. I am an orphan, you know, quote unquote, and maybe not a literal, but I am essentially an orphan. So she has no relationship with her mom. We've known for years that she and her mom are very, you know, they butt heads. We didn't know so many details, but we did know that. Then we go to, thank you, Anne Marie. I appreciate you. Then we go to the death of her mother. Now, she posted something that was very, it was a very real account of her relationship with her mother, which means she wasn't sugarcoating it. Like, I love my mom and I'm going to be so sad that she's gone. She essentially said that, you know, my mom and I, we struggled through our lives. And raise your hand, literally, if you can relate to this. I could relate to her story in so many ways, not with my mom, but with my dad. She was a tortured woman. She struggled with drinking. She struggled with this, you know, but she was this. She was beautiful. She was this. So it was obviously a very emotional thing for Bethany. And then she kind of went silent on social media. She would post random little stories of her walking through the woods with music, like James Taylor, Carole King, like these beautiful 70s songs. And then yesterday, all of a sudden, the divorce podcast episodes are gone. So I was so confused by that. I got a DM saying, did you hear the podcast about her mother, the death of her mother? And I said, no, I couldn't find it on her feed. But she has a second podcast called, I think it's called Just Be with Bethany. And there is a podcast episode that she released maybe yesterday, the day before, called, you know, The Loss of My Mother. When I tell you, you cannot go and listen to this podcast episode unless you are emotionally prepared for a very, very tough listen. Bethany is incredibly raw in this 1 hour episode. She opens up, she's crying openly throughout the entire hour, like, and sobbing at moments. It's very, very raw. She talks openly about the fact that she really cut out her mom for years and years and years and only let her back in because Bryn, her daughter, had questioned about, you know, her grandma, and Bethany didn't want to take that experience away from her. So she did she let her mom re-enter her life to an extent. She said her mom, she was surprised to find out that her mom had one friend at the end of her life, a friend of hers that had been in her life for 11, 12 years. She said this friend of hers called her to tell her that her mom died. But the friend, the 12-year friend of her mom, had no idea about the struggle of relationship they had between them, which made Bethany say even until the day she died, she never really took accountability or responsibility for anything that we went through in our lives. Then she went into a story that I was deeply interested in, and that is the life of Bethany as a child. So Bethany went through, if all of this is exactly correct, which I imagine, you know, we all have our own version of our history and our childhoods. And I think our parents see it very differently than we did. Like, at least I know that when I talk to my mom about how my childhood was, she says that I'm wrong about a lot of things because she didn't experience it the same way exactly I did. But I think it also gets, you know, that gets even 10 times stronger when you have a parent that's an addict, under the influence, maybe a narcissist, emotionally, you know, not able. Like my dad, for example, without getting into too much detail, has absolutely no concept of what he did to me in my childhood and in my life. And even if he understands what he did. He doesn't understand what it did to me, right? Like the effect that it did to me. So I can see why Bethany's mom, until the day she died, never actually said, yeah, I was a shitty mom, or I wasn't good to my daughter. But I'm going to take Bethany's word for what her life was. It sounds like a ton of alcohol. Mom was drinking very, very heavily. And what I found very interesting, there was a lot of really interesting concepts. And I've been messaging with a lot of friends and a lot of other podcasters in this space about this because I find it really, really fascinating. She talks about her mom's obsession with money. Okay. She says it many times. Well, actually, she mentions that money was like one of her children, meaning it was the most important thing. And vanity was one of her children, meaning being skinny and being pretty, and men were also so important. So those three things: she needed men, she needed money, and then she needed to look skinny and pretty. So let's first talk about the money thing. She mentions it many times throughout the episode that she would marry for money, she would date for money, she would try to find money, 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 money. Well, look, I would like to know one person out there that money is not important to. Money is an important part of life. Some people are much more driven by money, and some people do stupider things for money. But I find it really fascinating and interesting, considering she just released this divorce podcast a week ago, before her mom died, right? What did she talk about in this first episode about her and Jason's relationship and why it struggled so much? Money, right? She flat out says, women need men with money. Women cannot be in a relationship where they are the breadwinners. It will always cause issues. We'll talk about this a little bit later, by the way, with Sheena, because it comes up with Sheena and Brock. But women cannot have more money than their partners. Really interesting, right? Considering that she's talking about her mom and she's basically talking about herself in those ways. Then she talks about eating and her eating disorder. And it's really sad. She talks about her mom and her bulimia and how bulimia was a constant in her mom's life. And she would be scared to go to restaurants because she knew she was going to have to go and throw up. She would be scared she was going to go to a friend's house or friends to come over because she knew that the bathroom would smell like vomit. I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine going through this with your mom. But I think we'd be remiss to say that Bethany doesn't have eating struggles in her own way. Do I think Bethany is a bulimic, anorexic? I don't know. I think what Bethany is, what people call like orthorexia, right? Where it's an obsession over what you're putting in your body. And she's written books about this, right? Skinny Girl, The Skinny Way, Try Everything, Taste Everything, Eat Nothing, something like that. She always says like, I eat three bites. Her obsession with food, her obsession with like eating on camera and showing people that she's eating. I always find that very fascinating and very interesting. Hey, her mom went through it too, right? And then picking men. She talked about how her mom picked these abusive men. Well, I don't think Bethany was picking abusive men from what I know. I think Bethany picked, from what we know, better men. I mean, even Jason Hoppe, I don't think he ever physically abused her the way that she mentioned it about her mom. But Bethany is very open in this episode saying relationships are where I struggle. Relationships are where I can't do well in. And that's because she says, I've never really allowed myself to fully experience and fix this trauma from when I was a child. She mentions that she was kind of like thrown around to different horse racing horse trainers. Like her dad was a horse trainer, I guess a very successful horse trainer. Financially well off from what I know. Mom starts dating other trainers who knew dad. Like it's this weird incestuous world. And she got sent to these like trainers' houses for babysitting or to hang out. And she just like threw it out there like it was nothing in this podcast episode. And then this one, you know, they touched me inappropriately. And this one, he inappropriately did this to me. And I mean, Bethany was abused, it sounds like, multiple times by multiple men when she was a child. That is something that is like hardcore, probably the root of everything else that we're seeing with Bethany, but she never has dealt with it, she says. She's always said, I'm just a tough person. I just don't need to deal with that. So she closed the chapter of her childhood, of her very, very traumatic mother relationship, which is giving that movie. And there was someone else. Oh, remember Monica Garcia and her mom, LD Millionaire on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? It's very much like a parallel weird thing here. And it's giving that movie with Susan Sarandon and Natalie Portman, Anywhere But Here. Those of you that remember, it's like early 2000s. Susan Sarandon is like this money hungry, celebrity driven, wanting to be an actress type of woman, and picks up her daughter and moves her to Los Angeles. So they live in a small apartment in Beverly Hills. And, you know, just so she could like be with these like rich guys. It's so toxic, and it happens a lot, I think, with moms and single or only children, only daughters. I swear. I think this is like an ongoing situation. No offense to anyone out there that has one daughter, but I think when there's a single mother and an only daughter, there tends to be a little bit of a codependency relationship that sometimes happens, from what I've seen with a lot of these cases. And like I said, I'm not an expert. This is just my observation. I find it really interesting that, you know, Bethany said, so she's closed the book on all of this trauma. She's put it away. And then when her mom died, she always thought that when she got the call that her mom would die, she would literally, you know, just be like, well, that was sad. Okay. She had no idea it was going to affect her in the way it did, which sounds to me like probably she said, I thought the divorce was bad. This is 100% worse, which is so interesting to me. She's finally almost like facing these demons, facing this past in a way that she's never really allowed herself to go to, right? Where men that she's dated in the past, and we've seen this over and over, have always asked her like, why can't you work on this? Or why aren't you trying to do this? And the way she handles it is cutting them out. She cuts them out of her life rather than looks within to say, you know, why can't I heal this? Let me heal this void, which is why with Bethany, we always see the next big thing, right? The obsession. Let's start the YouTube. Let's start this. Let's start this. Let's be an influencer. Let's talk about reality reckoning. Let's talk about this. Let's like deep dive on this. Let's go. It's because it's, in my opinion, I feel like it's filling some sort of a void. Feels like it's filling some sort of void that is never going to be filled because she's never actually dealing with the root cause of the open hole, right? Does that make any sense? And this is just my observation, because I know personally, like when I first started dealing with my dad and in therapy, the issues of my dad and all of the rejection and all of the shit that I went through with EMDR, I couldn't stop crying for a week, you know? And I think she's crying. Well, she even says that I'm sad. It can make me cry. She said, I'm sad for the child that didn't have that relationship with our mother. I'm sad for like the little girl in me. It's very sad. It was very sad to listen to. It was very hard to listen to. She found these letters that her mom sent her in her 20s. Randomly, she found them in a book or in a box. And they were in her mom's handwriting. And they talked about how Bethany was the love of her life and how she was so, you know, proud of her. And she thought she was the most amazing thing. And Bethany said she just like didn't recognize it at the time. She couldn't recognize it at the time. And she said, I can't believe I didn't open these letters just a week before, because I would have gone and seen her. Guys, another thing Bethany said is go to, you know, do whatever you can to reignite a relationship or a conversation with a friend or someone in your family that you don't think it's possible to have a relationship with before it's too late, which did make me question a lot of things in my own personal life last night. But you also have to trust your gut on, is it toxic or not? Interesting about Paul. So, you know, Ray says, makes me wonder if she's still with Paul. She doesn't mention Paul at all. She doesn't mention Paul being there for her. She doesn't mention the fact that she spoke to Paul in any way. She mentions a lot of times that she spoke to friends from high school. She spoke to her therapist. She spoke to her best friend. She spoke to Bryn. She doesn't mention anything about Paul. She mentions like why she has chosen men in the past. She mentions a man named Larry. She mentions a man named Peter. She also mentions a man named Paul. Peter, Paul, and Mary. No, Larry. Okay. Mark says she mentioned Paul once when she was listing people that love her. Okay. It's a really, really tough thing. So after listening to this, and I was like so sad and so in my feels after listening to this, and then I drive home and I get a DM from one of you guys who says, I DM'd Bethany asking, you know, saying, I'm so sorry about the loss of your mother. And I'm actually, you know, I'm so sorry. But also, why did you delete the episodes? Why are the divorce episodes, you know, not there? And Bethany responded to her. And so she sent the DM to me, and Bethany wrote one trauma at a time. Because there was all these questions about why do you think Bethany removed those episodes? Everyone immediately goes to, uh-oh, was she served some sort of legal paper from what's his name, Jason? Was Bryn like, mom, you got to stop? And my gut was telling me the loss of her mother, and this is before I listened to the episode, my gut was telling me the loss of her mother did something to her that like, shifted something. When I listened to the episode, I thought 100% she said, I'm not doing this podcast anymore because I can't expose my daughter to this trauma about her parents that like I have done my whole life to protect her from. But then she did release a statement saying it's all too much right now at this moment. I was getting inundated with questions and DMs from you guys asking for advice and help about marriage, and I just can't handle it right now. So I will return to the podcast. I just won't do it right now. So I'm a little confused by that because there's a, like, she could have just literally released the loss of my mother episode on that podcast feed and explain on that feed, I'm taking a breather from speaking about the divorce, and I will, you know, go on to talk about other things. When I feel a little bit, you know, more ready to. The idea of removing them from her feed really is interesting to me. And it's a very unlike Bethany thing to do because we know Bethany, you can call Bethany whatever you want, but you know she's a businesswoman and she understands business and she understands numbers and she understands sales and she understands money. And Bethany, for some reason, for her to remove those podcast episodes means, and I don't think she removed them forever. I think she'll reinstate them. But for her to remove them from the feed means she's cutting off any potential for listeners. Also on YouTube, she's removed them from YouTube. And, you know, as we know, you get paid for your podcast listens. You get paid for YouTube views. And that's very important in this space, right? This is why we do what we do on YouTube and podcasts. You don't, you know, just do it just to talk to yourself, especially someone like Bethany. It's a business for her. And so for her to remove them when so many people were interested in listening to them, and how many people in my DMs last night saying, oh my God, I was just going to listen to them. I was saving them. I haven't listened yet. I do find that a little suspicious because to just speak on it and let them sit up there and say, I can't get into this at this moment, they're still there to listen to, is one thing. And it's a different thing to just completely remove them from anyone's ability to listen to them. I will be interested to know what happens with it because, you know, Bethany is still Bethany, and this may have really, really been a challenge for her, which I think it was. But I also don't think that, I mean, we'll have to see. I guess we'll have to see. I just can't imagine why she thinks this divorce podcast is a good idea, other than the fact that it's good for business. I just don't see the positive in it. Like, wait 10 years. Wait until your kid's 25. I don't know. Anyway. So Bethany had a very, very like big part of my brain last night. And I really, really felt for her. And I think a lot of you guys will be surprised to know that. I really, truly, truly felt for her. I felt bad for her. I worried about her. And I hope she's going to be okay. And I hope Bryn's going to be okay. Just saying. Okay. Let's move on. Yeah. So something about her, the coffee shop on Vanderpump Rules officially has an opening date. May 22nd, almost exactly a month from today, we should see something about her open. And that's the story. That's the story. We'll just kind of drop it off there. Thanks. Cool. That's all we have to say on that. I have no idea what's going to end up happening, if it's really going to open or not, but they're saying it's going to open according to The Sun. A lot of people think The Sun is a big old BS magazine. I have no idea. We'll see. If it does open, we'll know. If it doesn't, goodbye. Okay, so let's keep it going. Another story in the Beverly Hills, Hollywood area. Kyle Richards' daughter, Farrah, the star of Buying Beverly Hills, her home was burglarized in the middle of a, you know, broad daylight on Tuesday in Hollywood. I don't believe she actually lives in Hollywood. I want to say she lives in like the West Hollywood area. I don't know exactly, but I'm pretty sure. So in footage obtained by TMZ, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star, Kyle, consoled her daughter as they spoke with LAPD investigators at her West Hollywood property. It's understood that Farrah filed a police report. Apparently, brazen thieves gained access to the plush property at around 1 p.m. Tuesday by forcing entry to the front door. They shut the Wi-Fi down at the home upon entry, which is pretty crazy and also kind of hard to do. Like, you have to know your way around. Do you think anyone can just like go into your house and find your Wi-Fi router so fast? I feel like someone would have already had to be there and know where things are. They shut the Wi-Fi down at the home upon entry. They stole several luxury items, including designer bags and jewelry. Very, very traumatic, very violating. Farrah was not home at the time of the break-in. No arrests have been made at the time. From the pictures that I see on TMZ, she has a huge gate in front of her home. It's interesting the way that these robberies work. You would think they would go into homes that are ungated, but I find that some of these big robberies, they always are these like hugely gated homes, i.e. Dorit, Kyle Richards. It's like all these Beverly Hills moms. Now Farrah and so many other, you know, big high scale robberies. They're always these like gated homes, which makes me think they're inside jobs in some capacity, like people that know them. It's funny, I was at my nerve test the other day getting my nerves tested, and the doctor, he's my friend's husband, they live in Calabasas. Calabasas is like, you guys know Calabasas, that area, probably just from watching Kardashians and whatever. It's a gated community, the one that they live in. So you have to like show your ID at the gate, you have to get entrance to you have to get permission to drive into the community. And the homes are large and like some of them are gated in the community, I think. I have no idea, actually. And he told me that there are multiple break-ins in this gated community. I'm so confused by it because I thought that's the one thing that you can like confirm if you live in a gated community that you won't have break-ins. But I guess so many people, you know, maybe they're like workers that have worked in the homes before, you know, maybe handymen, plumbers, whatever. And then they know the situation. They know where the homes are. I guess there's also hills that you can climb into. I mean, my parents' house was burglarized. My mom's house, and she lives up Laurel Canyon and Mulholland on a small little road on a cul-de-sac at the end of a street with gates. Okay. And people broke into her house coming up from the brush, like from the hills. Isn't that crazy? So scary. So California and Los Angeles specifically have to get it together. I'm really obviously very unhappy with a lot of ways things are going here, but it's pretty crazy when you're a public figure and you're showing your home on YouTube or on your show. And everyone knows that Farrah and all of these celebrities, they know exactly how they're wealthy. They wear designer clothes, designer stuff. Their shows are all about their wealth. And they also, like, if you're a real estate agent, your name is on a sign and you're holding an open house. Okay, yesterday's Tuesday. Tuesday is like the biggest day for open houses from what I know in terms of the real estate world. All the brokers, they do these caravan days and they drive from home to home and they see all the open houses. So Tuesday is a day where, you know, if you're a top selling real estate agent, you're not in your home during the day. So it's like, it's crazy. And she's probably storing and Instagramming all day long that she's not home. So if one person knows where she lives, like, very, very scary. And did she have a dog? I don't think she has a dog. It's like another reason to get a guard dog. From one home break-in to another former housewife psycho story, I have to share this. This is crazy. Okay, you guys, Kim Zolciak-Bierman has lost the plot in so many ways. But this specific way is absolutely insane. Kim Zolciak posted on her Instagram, she does these things. I'm going to show it to you guys in just a second. But she does these things where she, hold on, let me find it, where she posts these clickbaity things where she'll just say like, a thing, and then she'll say link in bio. And basically what that means is like, she wants you to go to her bio and click on the link because for whatever reason, the link click that she gets to the website where she's linking, and I won't even go there, is enough money. It's providing enough money for her that she's making it like an Instagram post over and over. So she's done this so many times in the past where she'll put like a picture of a ultrasound of a baby and like she'll make it sound like she's pregnant. But this was insane. She had to turn off her comments. This is what it says. It's a picture of her and Croy, and all it says is hashtag RIP, hashtag link in bio. All right. I feel like we have to do this. I don't want to do this, but I feel like we have to click on the link to see what it is because I didn't even see what it was. So it's for Celeb Buzz, which she's getting paid a ton. And basically the article is called They'll Be Missed, Celebrities Will Remember in 2023. What the F kind of stupid website is this? So as you can imagine, everyone was like, what is happening? Why are you writing RIP on a picture of you and Croy? Did Croy die? Like, that is the first thing that you could think of, right? So, let me find the post. Someone posted it. A bunch of people posted it, but I have to find it. It was so funny. Of Ariana. So her daughter, Ariana Bierman, basically calls her out and is like, she posted a TikTok. She's like, what did I just watch? Mom, what? This is so embarrassing. I'm trying to think where I found it. I found it on, you know what? I'll just go to her TikTok because it'll be easy to find there. But Ariana was her second daughter. If you can remember, she was a, I think she's, I'm assuming she's 20-something years old now, but don't tell me she deleted it. Did she delete it? Oh, no, it's here. Okay, good. You guys ready for this? Hold on.
You guys, I had about a damn heart attack when I went on my Instagram. I physically don't have any fucking words.
She's losing her mind.
What? What?
I also have a lot of thoughts.
The DMs
about this video
that I'm getting as well, like before I even saw the story. And I'm like,
there's a lot of movement.
Yeah, that. What would you do in this situation?
Lots of hands.
Secondhand embarrassment stays through the roof. Let's see what's coming next week. I love you, but I just, like, my heart.
Okay, so basically she's talking about the fact that her mom did this post. And she's calling out her mom. She's like, I love you, but this is secondhand embarrassment. What are you doing? Now, can you imagine if I had conversations like this? I mean, if you're watching the video, I am making all kinds of movements. My hands are going everywhere. Her nails are hitting me in the eyes. I'm getting stabbed with her nails. It's like TikTok movements. It's like Charli D'Amelio TikTok movements are following you around in just your day-to-day life. Like, people are just having spasms where they're just doing TikTok dances. They're doing renegade, renegade, or like, I'm a savage. Like, what's this thing that they do? Trying to do it. You guys, I'm such a 42-year-old. So I find it really funny that she called her out. I also find her mannerisms to be very, very wackadoodle. I wonder if she is, you know, hanging out with Joe. You know, Tom Schwartz's Joe, but people are, you know, this is this age. I have a niece who's a little bit younger, but I'll never forget it. We went to Thailand in 2019. She was probably, let's see, 5 years ago. She was probably like, she was 12. Okay. 11 or 12. We go to Thailand and I've never seen anything like it. She was knocking people out left and right because she would take her phone out and she would just start doing these crazy dances. And I have the best video ever of my 80-year-old stepdad. We're sitting on a boat together and my stepdad starts to do a TikTok. And I'm going to have to find it for you guys, because when I tell you, this is a video that to this day will always make me laugh my ass off, because we all looked at her like she was crazy. We were like, this is not normal behavior, Maya. What are you doing? But we laughed so hard over it. And now I feel like I have to find it. But we laughed so hard over it because it's this, the TikTok movements in this next generation. I mean, I'm worried about the next generation for so many people, you know, for so many reasons. But the TikTok movements are just unreal. Like, you've never seen anything like it. And it makes me, you know, concerned a little bit about this next generation. But what I can tell you is that their arms are going to be so strong, because all they're doing is just using arm movements, like intense arm movements in every single thing that they're doing. But it also makes me, another thing I have a question for from the next generation is, how do you have so much money to get your nails done? Like, getting my nails done, this is a pricey endeavor. I do the Gel X. It's a pricey endeavor. She's getting her nails. These girls get their nails done all the time. It's like a consistent nail thing. This is a very expensive thing to do. Don't you guys agree? Like, doesn't it make you wonder where these girls get their money? Okay. It's a lot of chatter, a lot of chatter about, okay, here's the video. I'm just going to have to show you on my phone. It is the funniest video of my life. Like, maybe you just had to know my stepdad, but this is him doing a TikTok. We were dying. That's my mom next to him. And we're dying. And then my sister, and that's my niece on the other side doing it too. This was all of our trip to Thailand, and we were dead. I love my family. Okay, let's move on. Let's get into Vanderpump Rules from last night, yeah? Vanderpump Rules. All right. Vanderpump Rules was quite... Well, listen, I will say this. It's not as awful as the beginning of the season, but it's really, really just not nearly as good as The Valley. I think we can all agree. The episode starts with Ariana, you know, like little clips. I always do little clips. So she's talking to Danny and her boyfriend, Danny, who I think we're going to meet very soon, maybe next episode. And, you know, he's talking about how he's going to help her clean her crazy, wild place. And she's she says, I hear footsteps, I'm scared. And it's just kind of like setting the tone that they still live in together in this house. Then we have Ali Bally going into James's studio. Oh my God, I would be so embarrassed if I was James, how much energy and how much attention they're giving these planes. Now, we understand they live in Burbank. We understand that they live in the flight path. Do you guys find it so weird how the planes are a character on Vanderpump Rules? I'm so embarrassed for James. It's such an expensive, you know, he spent like $1.5 million. It's not like he's like living in a piece of shit. I felt so bad for them. But anyway, they're in his studio, which is his garage. And then out of nowhere, Jax Taylor comes over. Really weird. Jax has never looked worse. Now, Jax to me was a very handsome man. If you go back to seasons 1 through 5 of Vanderpump Rules, in my opinion, Jax was hot. I know I'm embarrassed, but I think Jax was real hot. And I think he's gotten his hands on a little bit too much pasta and the mustache situation and his eyebrows are like this. And he just looks so, he looks like roided out. And he just really does not look good in this scene with James. But obviously what they're doing is they're trying to do some sort of crossover a few weeks too late. Maybe they thought like the schedule was going to work it out so that this was right around when the Valley was starting. But it's weird that we're 3-4 episodes into the Valley and now Jax and Brittany are both showing up. But Jax shows up to James's house to talk about this brunch that they're going to do together at Sir. I remember when this happened. What was so weird in this scene is how Allie's like, tell me, so like, are you friends with Katie? And James is like, don't you have to go do a reading? Allie's like, yeah, I guess I have to do a reading. He's like, go. I thought that was really strange and out of character for James. Kicked Allie out. Ali Bally, you know, went off to do her astrology. And she's like, but James, write notes because I need to know all the drama so I can say it wrong when I tell Katie next week. You know how Ali Bally always tells the drama a little bit wrong. So James and Jax are talking about the fact that they used to have drama, but hopefully they'll be fine. Then we go over to Sheena's house. Sheena and Brock are having this conversation. Actually, no, Brock is not part of this. It's actually Sheena and Summer Moon in the cutest way. I'm obsessed with Summer Moon. Like, I'm just going to be honest. Summer Moon is the cutest kid to me on Bravo. I don't know. Danny and Nia's son is so dang cute too. But Summer Moon's personality just seems so sweet and cute. And like, it was so adorable how she was just sitting there with Sheena on her lap. And Sheena was talking to Brittany about her relationship with Brock. And Summer Moon was like, apple. Text. It was very cute. Now, I'm going to say something. There was a little moment where everyone was freaking out that she was putting makeup on Summer Moon. You guys, it was fake makeup. So obviously fake mascara, like nothing was coming out on the powder or the mascara. I think that she just likes to follow what her mom does. Now, I don't have a daughter, but I imagine this is a very normal thing in homes. I don't think it's like that crazy. Brittany Kemp comes over and Brittany has a conversation. And by the way, I just want to put it out there. Like Brittany's a mom and Brittany lives in the Valley. For Brittany to go from her house, which is like Valley Glen, to Marina Del Rey to Sheena's house, without your kid, like that is a big venture. So this was such a strange kind of get together. But obviously they wanted somehow for Brittany to be on the show. And I know she doesn't talk to Katie. She's not really close friends with any of the other girls. So this is the only connection. Sorry. So they're talking about her relationship with Brock. She's talking about her anxiety. She's talking about, you know, her struggles, and Brittany's talking about her struggles with Jax. And it's kind of, they're just going back and forth. And I actually really feel for Sheena with having the anxiety and having the stress. I mean, if you've ever struggled with anxiety, I would imagine it would be really hard. But then we cut over to Brock and his other hot friend, Luke. Brock and Luke with these accents. I mean, who are these guys? Brock and Luke need to start a band. And, you know, Brock is saying, I need a life. Like, I need to get more freedom. I need to be able to leave the home. I need to, like, I want to start making money. You know, she's the main breadwinner. Now, this is an issue. Why this is an issue for some women and men, where Bethany is right, I don't think it's the woman, the women for the most part. If a woman is the breadwinner, I don't think the woman is the one that struggles so much. I think it's a lot of times the men, meaning the men, and I could totally be, you know, speaking out of turn here. But I think the men feel demasculated. I think the men struggle with the idea of feeling like they're not enough for their wives. Just saying. I don't know. Sheena's like, I'm good with it. Like, I'm okay with being the breadwinner. I'm okay with it. I like it. I like the fact that he's there for me. I want him to be available for me. He's always there to help me. I mean, Sheena doesn't want someone that she has to do more for. She wants someone to do for her. So it works for Sheena, but does it work for Brock is the question. I think Brock and most men, most, want to feel like they're contributing financially. I have someone in my life that the woman in the relationship is a huge executive in the industry, in the entertainment industry, like top studios, okay? So very, very successful, very well off. And her husband was never at that level, but then eventually completely quit his job entirely. She completely supported them. And what he ended up doing, he was really good with his hands. And so he would flip homes that she would like, they would invest homes, obviously her own money. He would flip them and then they would rent them out. So he was still contributing in a way, in that way, which is why Brock does like a lot of, if you watch on social media, does like a lot around their new house and physical stuff, you know. I'm interested to know kind of like how that's going to end up going. But Sheena talks about her anxiety, which is very, very hard. And I can only imagine, you know, intrusive thoughts as a mom, scary thoughts as it's a lot. And she says she went on Zoloft for 1 month and she got off because she was tired and she needs the energy. Well, she was on the wrong medication is all I'm saying, because I'm on Zoloft and I am definitely, I have energy for days. I mean, not every day, but you know, I don't think it's the medication thing. I think she should probably get back on the right medication if she's really struggling with anxiety. No one should live that way. Then we cut on over to Mel's Drive-In, which is so random. I used to go to Mel's all the time in high school. And we have, do you guys have a Mel's where you live, or is it only an LA thing? We have Katie and Tom getting together for breakfast or lunch or whatever. And when I tell you, this is the most interesting duo, that they're closer now as friends than they ever were when they were together. They're so cute and fun together, just kind of hanging out. They're like giving each other shit about Tori and who she'll text first. I really like their little relationship now. Katie is really growing on me this season, I will be honest. Katie is growing on me. And yeah, Katie's growing on me. I mean, both Katie and Ariana in this episode are 100% like at the top of their game, in my opinion. So they have a nice little conversation. I think they're just establishing a friendship and she's giving him shit about his hair. And it's a cute little moment for Katie and Tom. They're talking about dating. I don't know. Brock and Sheena go to Barton G. They go to this very fancy, nice restaurant. I think it's in Beverly Hills. Notice he says no phones on the table. And she was like, oh, okay. She's always got her phone, right? She's obsessed with her phone in every scene. They have this adorable little dinner where she gets a little emotional and she talks about the fact that she likes that he's available for the daughter, that he's always around. She thinks it's giving him an opportunity to really be a good dad. He gets emotional. I really like Brock. I know that he doesn't seem like the best dad from his older kids, but I'll tell you something. I think it's all about recognizing your flaws and trying to, and you know, showing remorse and trying to fix issues. And I think if you're not able to recognize your flaws and where you went wrong and fix the issues, then you're a lost cause as a dad. But it sounds to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but it sounds to me like he's kind of trying to make it better. I don't know. So they're having a nice little conversation. You know, they get like this cute candle thing. She's like, I want to vlog it. He's like, no. You have freaking cameras there. Like, it's the funniest thing. She's like, I want to vlog this. They have a reality camera crew. But I want to vlog it. She's so obsessed. And then they decide that they're going to, you know, I think they're spending the night in the hotel for their anniversary. She's giving him a lot of, you know, sexy talk. And they're very cute. Like, I like them. I don't know what's wrong with me. You guys, everything's changing. Anne Marie says, you're changing, Donna. You're changing. I'm softer. I'm in my soft season like Lala. Maybe I'm pregnant. Then we have the most insane scene you've ever seen in your life. And it's Tom Schwartz driving around with his white blonde hair in a convertible. And we cut to a montage of Tom and Tom driving through LA, doing some weird dances. And then they end up at a tattoo studio. Tom Schwartz decides he's going to get his dogs tattooed on his back. Tom Sandoval falls off the back of a chair. I mean, this is the most ridiculous scene you've ever seen. I don't know how many more lines we can even, or how many more minutes I can give to you, but it's just ridiculous. And of course, this is the moment that Lance walks in. This is the moment that Lance walks into the room and he's like, "What are you watching?" And it's like Tom Sandoval going like this in a convertible. I'm so embarrassed by it. And then them both jumping out. This is giving this like produced Vanderpump Rules vibe that I'm just not into. But anyway, it was fun to see Tom Sandoval fall off his ass onto a chair. They're talking about the San Francisco party, which we know will be the season finale. We remember that they go to San Francisco for Kyle Chan's party. That is the season finale. So they're kind of like chatting about that and just setting it up. Then we have Ali Bali and James going and getting facials. This place looked fun. I don't know necessarily if I would call this cardio for my face because they were doing this. They were doing, this is cardio for your face. I'm sorry. It was a lot. But they get a facial and then they end up having a conversation. And I didn't have it on my bingo card that James Kennedy was going to end up being a helicopter mom to Hippie the dog. And it's actually really sad and emotional when I see James get like very, very touched by this, but he has major, major separation anxiety from his dog. He does not want to separate. And this could be for a variety of reasons, right? The Rachel thing, how he was with Graham when Graham was still Graham. You know, Graham has gone through some transitions. He was with Graham. Graham got taken away from him in the breakup. And then now he got him back, renamed him Hippie. He feels so connected to him. And he's like, I don't want to lose him again. And I don't want to go on this vacation because of the dog. Now, I'm just going to say something really honestly, and this is going to sound shitty, but if you're a dog parent, and I love my dogs, it is okay to leave them with people you trust. It is okay to send them to a good, there's so many good dog groomers, I mean, boarders or trainers or walkers or friends, family. Like, you can't not travel for 4 days for your dog. And maybe you're going to fight me on this. Maybe you're going to fight me on this, but I just don't personally see the win here for James because this is a long life ahead of them. And Ali Bali is like, am I just going to sleep in the other room? Ali needs to cuddle with her cats. Which, let's talk about that for a second. I know I'm going to get shit because I know a lot of you guys are probably cat moms. I have a cat too. I don't want to cuddle with my cat. Okay? So Ali Bali is cuddling with her cats in one room. James Kennedy is cuddling with Graham, Hippie, in the bedroom. They're both not traveling. Like, what's next? They stop having sex because of their dogs? 100% they're not having sex because of the dog. I'm concerned about Ali Bali and James Kennedy. We then get another appearance from Danny when Ariana's working out on the treadmill. And she's talking to her boyfriend over FaceTime. The assistant comes in. He says, like, how much longer will you need? Obviously, we're going through some weird stuff. And then Tom Sandoval's downstairs with his assistant talking to the realtor. And I guess it comes up again that, you know, he really wants Schwartz to live with him. Schwartz does not want to live with him. They all end up going to this brunch over at Sir, the James and Jax's brunch. And then we have such an odd, like, series of events. We have Lisa Vanderpump sitting there. And she's having a conversation with Guillermo. Can you believe Guillermo is still on the show? He was season 1, episode 1. And she's having a conversation with Guillermo, and she says, Guillermo, I don't know what to do about, you know, Jax. He has been disparaging me in the media, this and that. I don't understand how we're even at this place where his name is on as a flyer and he's hosting a brunch at Sir, but you haven't, like, dealt with this. I thought this was a little bit produced. But Jax ends up showing up, having a conversation with Lisa. Jax is such a Jax. You know what I mean? Like, Jax is Jaxing so hard on Tuesday nights. all through Vanderpump Rules, we had to get him and the Valley. I mean, it was too much. But Jax and Lisa kind of end up chatting. He says, you weren't there for me. We find out even later on the after show, he mentions that he was really hurt by it. He was really sad by it. He felt like he was really a big part of the show and really a big part of everything. And she was very maternal towards Brittany. And then when they left the show and they had Cruz, you know, Lisa wasn't, she didn't even say anything. She didn't say congratulations. She's never checked in with them. So I think Jax is just butt hurt. But they end up having this brunch, and we know that Katie is talking about how she doesn't like Jax, which will come up a little bit later. Does anything crazy happen at this brunch? I don't know. I mean, James and Tom Sandoval start talking a little bit about, you know, this is kind of when I kind of fell asleep a little bit. It's just like, Tom, are you going to change? Tom, are you going to change? We end up back at James and Ali Bally's house, and everyone seems like they're day drinking. Everyone seems like they're in a good place. Ariana and Tom Schwartz have such a cute conversation where I will tell you, I saw Ariana in such a nicer light in these last couple of episodes, and especially last night. There's no anger. She's not mad. She's just annoyed. She's annoyed with Tom Sandoval, as we all are. And she's talking to Schwartz in such a sweet way. She's like, you know, if you want to live there, that's fine. You know, whatever. Schwartz is like, I thought you'd be mad at me. She said, no, I would be fine. There's big smiles. Like, I actually find them very sweet. They give James a really hard time about Hippie. They try to help him. He starts to cry. Very interesting. James needs to, like, I think, go to therapy. There's something going on there. The strong need, like the fear of Hippie feeling abandoned. Is that Hippie or is that James more? I don't know. Of course, Jax then comes over and Jax says about 475,000 times that I've got Brittany at home. I've got a babysitter at home. I can drink. I can drink today. And he and Katie have some words. She's like, I don't like you. He's like, yeah, I don't like you either. She says, well, the media talks about you. The internet talks about you. He's like, oh yeah. Well, they talk about you too. And she goes, good. And he goes, good. And it's about the fact that Katie had mentioned a few weeks ago that there's still rumors that Jax is cheating on Brittany, which I'm convinced he is, and I'm convinced he did. Does anyone here not think Jax cheated on Brittany? The episode ends with Sheena getting upset with Brock because she's like, I want to go. I want to put the kid to bed. I want to put Summer Moon to bed. And he's like, why can't we just stay out for once? And she said, no. I need to go home. And 2 seconds later, she and Sandoval get into a big fight. I think Sheena was drinking a little bit because it was unlike Sheena for her to act this way. But she gets in a big fight with Sandoval. Sandoval, you know, takes his douche level up a notch by saying, you've also cheated. You've also done this before. Because he's saying you're inserting yourself into the conversation. You're creating music. You're creating podcasts. Like, enough talking about me. Which we can all agree Sheena does, but Sheena was part of this conversation. She was a big part of this conversation. So I get why she did. We all inserted ourselves. I did. You did. We all did. And Sandoval then ends up saying something to her along the lines of, you know, you also cheated, which was referring to her hooking up with Eddie Cibrian, Brandy Glanville's husband, 16 years ago, 18 years ago, God knows when. And that takes us back to season one, episode one of Vanderpump Rules. She loses her mind. How dare you? She runs out crying. Ariana runs after her, gives her a big hug saying, I know he's just a motherfucker. And Ariana's a good friend, guys. From what I'm seeing this season, I'm just being honest. A lot of people are saying Ariana's like all about herself. She's a good friend to Sheena. She's been a good friend to Lala. She's been a good friend to Katie. Like, Ariana has done nothing to prove anything other than that in these episodes. So I think right now, you guys, I'm team Ariana. That's what I'm saying. We can switch. We can switch teams. Okay. It doesn't mean that I'm going to, today's episode is all about Donna upside down. I feel bad for Bethany. I'm team Ariana all the way. And I like Katie and I like Brock. Like, what's going on? So anyway, Sandoval is a dickwad. Are we allowed to say that on YouTube? Oh my gosh, we have 500 people here live. 500 people watching me talk about Tom Sandoval being a douche canoe. Speaking of douche bag, that comes up later on in the valley. So let's do a stretch break and move on to the valley. My current favorite show on Tuesday nights. I love The Valley. I just think it's so good. So in last night's episode of The Valley, I'm trying to think where it started. Once I see it, oh, it's called Congrats on Your Hair Loss. I mean, how embarrassing for Jax. And the way he treated the company that like talked about the hair loss, it's pretty crazy. So we start at Kristen's house, Kristen and Luke. He's doing something for a gecko. They have 475,000 animals in one apartment. It stresses me out. They're talking about, do you think you were pregnant? She goes, I don't feel it in my soul. Do you think it was morning sickness? No, I think it's too early. They have this conversation. He's like, well, we could always do it again next month. And he's talking about the fact that he, you know, he wants to like kind of find more space in her place, like make more friends, kind of like develop his roots. She said, you know, he doesn't have any of his fishing tools. Okay. Last I checked, there wasn't a lot of fishing in Sherman Oaks, but okay. Whatevs. We have a conversation. We see Jax driving through the streets in a golf cart, which was quite funny. He's driving through the streets in a golf cart and he ends up sitting down with Jasmine at a restaurant. And this is where he starts talking about the fact that Michelle, Jesse and Michelle are not nearly as good as anyone thinks. Jesse thinks Michelle is going to leave him within 2 months. And Michelle has been supposedly texting other men. And Jasmine is just like purely there just to kind of be a friend to him. He's also talking about the lack of him and Brittany's sex life and how it's not going well. I'm finding this whole conversation very interesting. Like she wants the spark back. He wants to have more sex with her husband. Jax used to say, he said, we used to, you know, be like bunnies, meaning constantly all day, every day. She loves to have sex, he says. Her love language is me between her legs, is what he says. But they're still not having sex. And we're going to have to phone a friend to figure this one out. Hold on. Let's call Carl Radke. Hello, Carl. Can you explain to me why a man doesn't want to have sex with his willing wife or partner? Oh, okay. Why aren't these men having sex with their wives, their girlfriends? Like, what's happening here? What's the disconnect? I've told you already my story in my relationship. Okay. My relationship is that all I have to say is, hey, babe, you want, and it's happening. Okay. So I'm confused by this. He makes a joke that she's probably using all the toys. They need batteries. We had a call back to batteries. Duracell, where are you? You're back in the conversation. Did you know batteries were such an important part of Vanderpump Rules in the Valley? But he's straight up saying, I will never, ever be like Jesse and Michelle. Meaning we'll never be on the verge of breaking up. Cut to. They're living apart. They're living apart. So he is a gossip. He admits it. He's like, I gossip and I tell people everything. And of course, you know, then we had this really strange scene of him calling Danny and having this echo on the phone. And he's like, is it because you're on an Android? And you know, Brittany won't let me have WhatsApp because has she met Jax Taylor? I found it a really interesting scene that they kept in. But he gets on the phone with Danny and he invites him to this hair loss event. Essentially, he got paid to partner up with his hair loss, and he doesn't really have hair loss, and everyone jokes about that later. He has like one little part of his scalp showing, and he's, you know, using it to say, I have really, really horrible hair loss, and I need to use this company that he didn't even really understand what it meant, the name of the company. I mean, he's completely taking advantage of that company. But we'll talk about that later. Then we go over to the cutest couple in the entire world, and that's Danny and Nia. Okay, Danny and Nia win an award for the cutest couple on Bravo at this point. And they've got their adorable little babies and 2-year-old, and he invites his two buddies to come over who have absolutely no idea what they're doing, because that would make sense. That you would invite Jason and Jesse, two guys that are not handy, with a bottle of champagne just to kind of hang out with you. It's obviously a produce scene, but they need to take apart a daybed. All Jesse is there is to drink. And he talks about, during this conversation, they're talking about their relationship. And Jesse says, I've been seeing this person who's been telling me to go on like ayahuasca. But he, you know, he is very aware that they're having issues in their relationship, which will come up, of course, later. Spoiler alert, Jesse and Michelle are no longer together, and Michelle has a new boyfriend in real time. So who knows? Okay. So then Jax and Brittany get in that golf cart again. Hold on. Is that what happens next? Yeah, Jax and Brittany get in this golf cart. You guys, Brittany's accent is driving me mad in this scene, in this episode. Her accent has gotten 6 times stronger than the beginning of Vanderpump Rules, or season 4 of Vanderpump Rules. Go back, rewatch when she was first introduced on the show, and then watch The Valley, and you'll be shocked. She went from being like a nice Southern girl to being like, Jax, I don't want to know when we go into this restaurant. I want to have some control over what is said and what is on the walls, Jax. It's mama, mama. It's unreal. But they drive, and the entire drive is her saying, I just want to be more involved. I want to be more involved in the way that Jax's looks. I want to have more control. And he's like, I got it. Like, that's why I'm involving you. And she's like, but I want more control and I just want to be involved. Nobody's asking me anything. And he's like, I'm asking you right now. It was a really annoying conversation to watch. They get to Jax's, they look around. She's like so excited that she's going to have a say on the color of the stain on the wall. And, you know, this is when, remember when they first opened Jax's, it was so weird because it didn't feel like it was finished. And this makes more sense. In this conversation, she starts talking to him. Why are you so stressed? And he is probably just like every other, you know, husband or dad in the United States right now, which is like, I want to make sure I have enough money to support my family. He's stressed out about business. He's stressed out about money. He's stressed out about being a good husband. He's stressed out about being a good dad. He's Jaxing it up. You know, he's all about Jax. And he gets emotional. He's like struggling with it. And Brittany's like, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine, which is partially maybe like a little bit of a problem. I notice a little bit of toxic positivity when it comes to Brittany. Does anyone notice that? Does anyone notice that Brittany is like the queen of toxic positivity, just always being like, it's going to be okay? That annoys me. When you're really struggling, you don't want someone to be like, you'll be okay. Everything will be okay, Sheena. It's okay that you're crying every night. It's going to work out. No, it's like, let's get some actual like help. Can we get some help? We then go to the Mondrian. This is Sky Bar, Sunset Strip. If you've been there, you remember, you know, they all walk into this party for Jax's hair event. Everyone is like reminiscing. Oh, I used to get trash here. Oh, I used to party here. We have a very interesting conversation between Lego Man Zach and Tom Schwartz. Tom Schwartz takes off his hat. He's blonde. Lego Man with the craziest black hair, you know, wig I've ever seen in my entire life look ever is criticizing Tom Schwartz. He's like, Tom, what is that on your head? And I thought, I couldn't believe that this was happening, because I'm like, look in the mirror, dude. Look in the mirror. Now everyone shows up and they all start drinking. They all start partying. Brittany's mom and grandma come over. Jax does a whole big speech about how he noticed he had a bald spot on his head and sprayed black spray paint on his head for a picture. I found that kind of odd. Okay. Then we have this like pop-up girl. She's like a Burning Man. She's got some clothing and she's half naked and she's a cutie, and she's standing there selling these clothes. And of course, we have Jax and, you know, Dirty Man Jesse standing there, and they start kind of flirting with her. And they're both like so obvious. They're like, oh, I don't even know. We're married. Oh, I can't look away. I don't know what to do with a hot girl in LA. Oh, is that can't look. Ooh, ooh. Like, it's so weird. Listen, she's cute. The girl with Gabby is cute. But like, I feel like you see hot girls like that everywhere you look in Los Angeles. So it's all very strange to me. We have a conversation with Jasmine talking to Janet, who is also a big gossip, kind of trying to get more information about this thing that Jax had said about Jesse and Michelle. So it's obviously building. It's building. Kristen keeps saying she's protecting Michelle. Kristen and Luke have information on Michelle. We already know that, and we're protecting. So Jax walks away from this Gabby the hottie. Jax walks away, and Jesse can't leave. Jesse's like, so tell me more. Tell me more about Burning Man. Which then a few minutes later, Michelle walks over, and she goes, what's going on? Now, I don't like Michelle. I just said it. Okay, I've said it before. I said it last week. I'm saying it again. I do not like Michelle. There's something about her that is just very shady. It's very confusing to me. It doesn't feel like she's all there. It feels like there's like a non-genuine vibe. I don't know what it is. I want to like shake her a little bit and be like, are you there? She comes over and she says to Jesse, like, what's happening here? And Jesse is like, oh, she's going to Burning Man. Like, obviously uncomfortable because Michelle clearly caught him flirting and she didn't like it. And Jesse was trying to just make up for it. But Jesse, you know, was trying his best. And Michelle's like, no, let's go to dinner, which is really rich. It's really rich coming from Michelle. Okay. We go over to the dinner and everyone's obviously drinking heavily. I mean, you guys, it was like a full party before the dinner. So the dinner is probably at 9 p.m. Everyone's been there since 5 drinking margaritas, cocktails, open bar. Everyone's drunk. They go into this kind of like depressing room in the hotel for this dinner. And this is when kind of everything goes to shit. Long story short, Jesse gets really silent. We find out that right before this party, Jesse and Michelle had a therapy appointment where he basically figured out that their marriage is over, but they're not talking about it. So Jesse and Michelle are in one corner. Michelle keeps giving Jesse shit. Like, why are you so quiet? Why are you so quiet? Jesse is like, I'm just not in the mood to talk. So I don't like either of them. They both give me bad vibes. On this side, we have Kristen and Luke. Okay. In the middle, we have Jax and Brittany. All Brittany's doing is taking shots. Does anyone notice that? She's like, oh, I'm getting shots. Meemaw's gone. She's getting shots. Jax is getting wasted. You know, we have Janet and we have Nia and Danny calm and collected. And Janet and Jason calm and collected. We have like the sober normals on this side. And we have the crazies on that side. And at one point, someone says, hey, Jesse, are you okay? Is everything cool? And he's like, yeah, I'm okay. And she still gives him a hard time. Why are you being so quiet? Why are you being so quiet? And finally, he decides to start bringing up Burning Man to change the conversation. She's not happy about that. Stop talking. Stop talking. And it's just getting heated. There's like 10 conversations going on. Everyone's fighting or talking about something else. And finally, Jesse gets really upset and does a hand slam on the table. This is the second hand slam of the season. It's Jesse hand slam table, right? So he's obviously very upset. He's getting frustrated. Everyone's getting frustrated. Brittany's like, why are you even doing this here? And Kristen decides to make it about her. I can't be here. This is abusive. This is abusive. And she says to Luke, can you believe their marriage? Michelle calls him a douchebag. And Luke wins like the award of the night because he's like, you call me a douchebag. And she's like, I do not call you a douchebag. And he's like, you literally called me a douchebag. And she's like, I'm not doing this anymore. Okay. I am leaving. I am politely asking to leave this dinner because when you think of unhinged, Kristen never shows up in that list. Kristen is the normal one, right? What is happening? It's so crazy. Like Kristen's like, I can't handle this drama. I am trying to produce a baby in my belly. He's like, I'm going to politely excuse myself. She gets up and goes. She starts talking to a producer. Somehow Jesse is now out there. You hear Jesse and her talking to each other. And Jesse says, if you have a skeleton about my wife that I don't know about and you're going to bring it out on this show, I will murder you. Like, he's so upset. I will bury you. So they're going back and forth. Now all of a sudden, Luca's out there. Hey, get your hands off of her. Michelle is out there. Well, did you talk to my husband that way? All of a sudden, she's super protective. Meanwhile, notice the entire scene. So there's all this drama in the hallway. The entire scene, they're doing a blur on her nip. Her nipple is out of her dress this entire scene, Michelle's. So Kristen's like, I can't handle this. This is too much stress for me. Luke is like, what the hell, Jesse? Jesse's like, you're talking about my wife. Michelle's like, stop, everyone. And then, of course, we have Lego Man coming out. Lego Zach is like, stop, guys. Stop. Stop. Everyone, stop. So Luke is going after Jesse through everyone. Jesse finally rips open his shirt and he starts to kind of push people down. We see Lego Man. Oh, he starts falling backwards. I mean, I want the scene in slow motion. This was award winning. Kristen is pissed off. Everyone's mad. No one knows what anyone's fighting about. Michelle finally decides, let's get everyone back in the room. I want to say something. She says, I want to say something. I am going to say something. Kristen's like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Kristen and Luke end up going downstairs. Michelle brings everyone back into the room. We don't exactly know what she's about to say, but we know that as Kristen is walking downstairs with Luke, she straight up says, you have a boyfriend, okay? Michelle allegedly, according to Kristen, has been seeing another guy for a year. She's been unhappy with Jesse, and she's been dating and hooking up with another guy for over a year. Kristen says, I didn't care because I don't like Jesse. I wonder, like, in what level of Sandoval are we going to treat Michelle? Are we going to treat her like a Sandoval, or do we just not care enough about them? At the end, the final line of the night is Kristen saying, I didn't want to do this with everyone. I should have just been on, I might as well be on Vanderpump Rules. To be continued. Guys, this is a great show. Fantastic show. It's giving everything. It's giving divorce. It's giving pending divorce. It's giving lack of sex. It's giving struggles being a parent. It's giving postpartum depression struggles. It's giving boys' night, girls' night. It's giving mama. It's giving everything. It's a great show. And on that note, my 80 minutes with you guys are up. So I hope absolutely. I haven't said that in so long. I miss Mauricio. Where is Mauricio these days? Mauricio, you know who Mauricio is probably hooking up with right now? Gabby, the girl from the Burning Man pop-up at the Mondrian. For sure they're shipping. All right, you guys, I love you so much. Thank you for being here. And subscribe to Patreon to listen to the Ever After, Bethany Ever After. That will be in addition to my normal weekly episodes. And I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye, friends.